Thank you, Jules. And welcome everyone to this fabulous day in Al-Anon 2022. And we're all here and we're the blessed for sure. I think it's only appropriate that we begin this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. So if you will take a moment of silence and then we'll start. God, grant me the serenity to accept those things I can't change, cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. I want to thank the Sunrise meeting that meets on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock every week for today's workshop. And I'd like to thank the committee for inviting me to share in this workshop. I think I'll begin with qualifying. I, like many of you, came to Al-Anon because we wanted to get relief from living with the terrible disease of alcoholism, and I wanted to get my loved one sober. I thought if I got that result, I'd be fine. So I was getting Al-Anon 6 months, and I would learn the lesson, get the recipe, and go on my way. In May of this year, I will have been here 30 years and no recipes have been given. But I have had tremendous personal recovery, and that's a gift I never expected. My mother was my primary alcoholic, my first alcoholic. She was an angry drunk, and we lived in chaos. She was married, had 4 children under the age of 5. I probably would have drank too. And she was angry, like I became. She didn't have enough, there wasn't enough money in the family, there wasn't enough time, there wasn't a car, there wasn't any leisure, and she didn't like housework. She was an anti-mame, not a drum. So we grew up with a lot of unhappiness. I was the oldest, and I learned to get any accolades I got, it was from being mom's little helper. So I got on the train to be perfect and did that for a long, long time. And for a long time, it worked. But I learned also a lot of black and white thinking. And that did not serve me so well. And I also learned that I had one emotion, and that was anger. I didn't realize there was one faucet tap that was entitled feelings. I thought I could push everything else down. And if I was angry enough, and I was the oldest of the litter that I was born into, and if I was responsible, I would have power and control over my life. You can recover from those problems in Al-Anon. That has been my experience. If you work the program to the very best of your ability, one day at a time, and reach out and keep coming back. Some parts of my story may sound terrible, but the fact is this is a happy story because where I am today, I'm an Al-Anon who is 98% of the time, that's probably a little over exaggeration, but way over 90% of the time, happy, joyous, and free. And for that, I am everlasting grateful. I selected speaking on the Serenity Prayer because when I got here, it gave me comfort, and I had no intention of working the steps. That changed because I got a sponsor, and I did what she asked me to do, because I wanted to get an A in the program. Thank God for that. Thank God. I want to welcome any newcomers who are here in Al-Anon. And no matter what your plan, just keep coming to meetings. You are the lifeblood of our fellowship, because when you speak and share your struggles, we can see our growth and we can share our experience, strength, and hope. and we get to witness your growth and the miracles that are happening, and that gives hope to all of us. I'm just going to start with just a moment of lightness that there's a joke about optimism that says that the optimist thinks this is the best of all possible worlds, and the pessimist fears that the optimist is right. I also share that Archbishop Tutu of South Africa said that he was not an optimist, but he was, quote, a prisoner of hope, quoting the biblical prophet Zechariah. Hope is what I found here in this program. And I found this quote helpful from outside of the program. Jane Goodall said that hope is what enables us to keep going in the face of adversity. It is what we desire to happen, but we must be prepared to work hard to make it so. And that's where the steps come in. And that's where the progress comes. And now I would like to talk about the meeting in terms of the resiliency, which I love, and the serenity prayer. I thought we should all have the same kind of understanding of what resiliency is. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says that I thought resiliency was that clown face on a punching like bag that children had, that you hit him and he goes down and then he bounces right back up. That looked like resiliency to me. But the dictionary I looked in had an even better definition, and I'd like to share that. If I could find it here. Okay, I found it. The dictionary, one meaning is resiliency is the power or ability for a human being to return to its original form or position after being bent, compressed, or stretched. And a synonym is elasticity. Another meaning is the ability to adjust or recover readily from illness, adversity, and or major life changes. Another synonym is buoyancy. I think those are great definitions. I like the elasticity and buoyancy, and I think of a pair of pants that was fit me at one time, and as I've gone through Zoom, maybe the elasticity has given a bit and it doesn't fit so well anymore. But guess what? It doesn't go back. I can't hang it in the closet, send it to the dry cleaner, and have it come back. You got to do work to come back. But in our spiritual beings, there is work to be done, and we can do it. And the resiliency comes back. What a blessing. As you all probably know, the AMA has defined alcoholism as a disease. And I think in Al-Anon, by the time we get here, many of us are suffering from the effects of this disease. Physical, mental, and emotional. I would suggest that many of us before Al-Anon felt bent, compressed, or stretched from our original form as spiritual beings, loved by a higher power, and programmed to find joy and happiness and serenity in life. We had lost our elasticity and or our buoyancy. A lot of us are here today practicing recovery one day at a time from the disease of alcoholism and illness complicated by adversity and major life changes such as divorce, separation, the death of a spouse, or child, or have been abandoned and left alone. Recovery seems out of reach. We've lost our buoyancy, our sense of lightness, and our ability to find joy, happiness, and serenity, or lightness of spirit. Well, the good news, there is hope here in this program. Some of us believe that HOPE is an acronym that stands for Hang On,
pain ends. We have a program of steps, traditions, and of course, the Serenity Prayer. These are some of the tools which help us regain our spiritual being, looking to find joy and happiness in our life as a gift from our higher power. I just recently finished a book called The Book of Hope by Jane Goodall and Douglas Abrams. And that's where I got the quote from. Now I'm going to read you a quote from Courage to Change, page 284, on October 9th. And someone is just interrupting me. Can't do it now. Not till 2 o'clock. Thank you. My gardener just came in. He was not scheduled. So, okay. Courage to Change, excuse me. 284, October 10th. Okay, I'm just going to read the quote at the bottom of the page on October 10th in Courage to Change. It says, if a crisis arises or any problem baffles me, I hold it up to the light of the Serenity Prayer and extract its sting before it can hurt me. I just think that is wonderful that we can do that and it works. If we say, well, I'm going to go through it by step, by words. So let me just let that Serenity Prayer rest in your mind for a moment. Okay. And then I'm going to read a quote on December 17th, also from Courage to Change. Here I'm going to read the third paragraph. I keep in mind that whatever is bothering me when I say the serenity problem, what is it that I need to accept or change? I pray for the wisdom to know the difference and the serenity and courage to follow through on what I learn. And finally, I pray that the person in question be given the serenity, love, and joy that I want for myself. We all deserve that. That's December 17th in the Courage to Change. Recently, I lost a friendship that I had had for 50 years. And it was extremely painful when my friend said she no longer wanted to be in relationship. I tried for 6 months through phone calls, letters, apologies, gifts to get back in her good graces. I finally had to reach out for some professional help. And what the counselor told me is that it takes two to have a relationship. I knew that, but I had forgotten it. And I did not want to believe it. I did not want to accept that. And she said, if the other person's not willing, there's nothing you can do. And what I had to let her go. And then I had to let go and let God. And as the counselor said, I have 50 years of beautiful memories. And those are mine to keep. And so I did. And I have moved on. What I realized is during that 6 months, I was in a great deal of pain and I was having a great deal of resentment. It was because I didn't let go. I didn't see the difference between those things I can change and those things I cannot. I've learned that the rearview mirror on my car is smaller than the windshield, because I can look back, but it is not usually helpful to stare in the rearview mirror. It's dangerous, in fact, and it takes me away from my serenity. So I can glance back
acknowledge what happened, and move forward. That has been very helpful to me. I have a friend in the program who bought a sign when she was down here visiting me, which said, "It is what it is." And I remember we laughed about it because my spouse thought that was a terrible saying. And we've met many other people who also felt that way. And she and I just giggled and said, "It doesn't matter. It's still true. It is what it is." So those things I can't control are enormous and many, many in number. The things that I can control really is whether or not to judge someone else, whether or not to be resentful, whether or not to return hurt, whether or not to take offense, whether or not to be grateful for the blessings that have come into my life. Those are the few things I can control. And the rest I need to turn over to the care of my higher power when I've got the wisdom to do that. The wisdom came from going to 100,000 Al-Anon meetings, at least, I think. I tend to exaggerate. It's not that many. And I have learned there that when I am resentful and I'm in pain, I'm in a hallway. And I used to ask my sponsor, "How long? How long?" And she said, "Until the door opens. But you have a job to do when you're in the hallway." "What's the job?" She said, "Make the hallway better for the next person. Light a lamp. Hang a mirror," and that translates into be of service to someone else. And that's what the program has taught me. When I'm in pain, when I've taken offense, when I've lost my serenity, I go to a meeting, I raise my hand, I share, I take a call from a newcomer. If someone asks me to sponsor them, I try to say yes. Maybe sign up for service, for literature, for coffee. And eventually the door at the other end of the hall opens. I think the reason it takes a long time for me to get to the end of the hallway or for the door to open is that I heard early on in the program that you're not going to be cured in 6 months. I was 45 plus years old when I got here. And she said, you were in the middle of the forest when you got here. You couldn't find your way out. But it took you 45 years to get here. You can't get out in 6 months. You got to practice the program on a daily basis. And I also had a sponsor who shared with me that when we're trying to practice a new behavior, say, let go and let God, that it's as if there's a phonograph record there. Some of you might remember what those were. They were great big pieces of vinyl and you put them on a player. You had a little needle and you put it on and it played the record. But if you jostled the table that the record player sat on, it would jump out of that little groove into another groove. And what she said is you've for 45 years cut a very deep rut or groove in your record. And now you're practicing new behavior. You're trying to cut a new groove in the record. But as soon as something happens that doesn't go according to plan, it jostles you and the needle jumps back into where it's comfortable. That made sense to me. And it made sense to me why I needed to go to many, many meetings and why I needed to practice the slogans and practice the serenity prayer and practice, practice, practice. When I say the serenity prayer, I try to do it word by word, thinking about what each word means to me. The first word is God. Our higher power can be whatever we picture, and I have known many people in Al-Anon who are atheist. That's okay. I heard a woman speak at an international meeting of AA with Al-Anon participation who said that her higher power was a beacon's moving truck because she had had to move many, many times with her small child to get out of the path of the alcoholism in her life. And she said the moving truck would come, the movers wrapped everything in blankets, put them safely in the truck, and took them to a new, safe, better location. So she told her little boy that the beacon's truck was God. And when they saw a beacon's truck, the little boy would say, "There's God, Mom." So that's one person. Another woman I knew in this fellowship a long time ago said she believed that her higher power was the little buttons on the front of the, in the cosmetic counter at a Five and Dime that you'd pull open to get the lipstick out of or something, because she worked there. And she said they showed her new things. When she opened those drawers, they showed her new things. And that was her higher power. So that has been very helpful for me to learn. My higher power is a woman of indiscriminate age who is a nurturing individual. And I chose that, I believe, because my mother, as much as she loved us, was not a nurturer. And this individual is available 24/7. My mother wasn't, due to her disease. And this higher power has only my best interest at heart. And I have learned to trust her completely. The next two words in the prayer are "grant me," and that suggests to me that there is a very significant difference between my higher power and me. I used to think I was my own higher power, and that the only good things, I shared this with many people, only good things that happened to me in my life were because of things I did. I have learned differently. I was 40 years old when I had a child. I had been trying since I was in my 20s. I had had every tool available to me used. I had stood on my head. I had read books about getting pregnant. I had gone to fertility clinics. I did it all. No pregnancy. When I finally quit and finally accepted it was not going to happen in this lifetime, a couple years later, at the ripe old age of 40, I was pregnant. I disdained the fact that my higher power was interested in me at that time. But I've learned in Al-Anon that I needed to learn about leaning on a higher power.
Judy, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Pardon me, please. It's a gentle 5-minute reminder.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jules. So that has been very helpful to me. Okay, as we go on in the step, I have to grant it. The first tool to finding serenity then is to trust my higher power. And then I have to accept, and we've talked about acceptance. Then the courage to change those things I can, that was hard. And you've heard other speakers today talk about what does it mean to have a conversation that you don't want to. I always felt I was a crab on a beach, sidling up to my spouse, trying not to get into trouble. And yet what worked yesterday wouldn't work today. So I was always trying to, I couldn't be me. I just had to fit in so that I didn't cause trouble. That took courage to call the police when I had to call the police. I thought it meant the end of my marriage. It was not the end of my marriage. So the courage, I have to see myself on the end of the diving board, and I have to jump. And I have to believe that my higher power is going to catch me. and the wisdom to know the difference. That's what you get from going to meeting after meeting after meeting and practicing the slogans and carrying Al-Anon literature with you in the car so that you can refer to it when you're about to lose your serenity. I get a second for every year in Al-Anon to decide, am I going to take offense or am I going to let go and let God? Most of the time, I can let go and let God, and that's the wisdom. That is serenity. Let it, using our higher power to guide us and keep us on the narrow path of doing the next right thing. And that's the wisdom that I have when I let go and let God. I wish you all serenity. You all deserve it. Please pray and spend time with your higher power. It's worth it. And I think that's it. I'm done. I want to hear what all of you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judy. And now, will our co-host please unmute everyone so we may thank the lovely Judy B.
Thank you, Judy.
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 That was very inspiring.
Gracias, Judy. Muchas gracias.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for making that wonderful welcoming.